The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Okay, we're back, and you're listening to Project Independence and You on 88.1 FM WCWP. And now we're getting into our old-time radio segment, which is Mr. Keen, Tracer of Lost Persons, Murder, and the Blood-Stained Necklace. We'll be right back after the performance.
It's time now for Mr. Keen, Tracer of Lost Persons. Gentlemen, Anison and Colonos present Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, one of the most famous characters of American fiction, in one of radio's most thrilling dramas. Tonight and every Thursday at this same time, the famous old investigator takes from his file and brings to us one of his most celebrated missing persons cases. Tonight's case is entitled The Case of Murder and the Bloodstained Necklace. Our scene opens in a corridor of a Metropolitan Hotel. A man with a briefcase in his hand has been knocking impatiently at one of the room doors. As a bellboy approaches with a pitcher of ice water and some glasses...
Excuse me, sir.
Was that ice water ordered for this room, boy?
Oh, yes, sir, for Mrs. Bradley.
Well, I don't think she's in. I've been knocking for over 5 minutes.
Well, it's funny, mister. She gave me the order herself over the telephone, told me to bring the ice water right up.
My name's Austin. I have an appointment with Mrs. Bradley. Have you got a key to this room?
Yes, sir.
We'll open the door, then.
You don't think there's anything wrong, mister?
Now, don't ask questions. Just open the door, please, and let's have a look inside.
There's nobody here, Mr. Austin. Mrs. Bradley must have gone out right after I talked to her on the phone.
Put that tray down and get hold of the police, quickly.
Why? What's the matter, Mr. Austin?
Look, behind that screen.
Holy smoke. It's Mrs. Bradley.
Yes, with a bullet through her throat.
She's been murdered.
And now, later, we find a friend of the murdered woman, a Mrs. Thornton, at the office of the great investigator, Mr. Keene, asking for his help. And she's saying...
And that's how they found her, Mr. Keene, lying on the floor of her hotel room. My friend Grace Bradley had been murdered in cold blood.
I read the details in the newspapers this morning, Mrs. Thornton. My partner, Mike Clancy here, thought the case most unusual.
Oh, it's a puzzler, all right, boss. That string of pearls they found in the victim's hand, for instance, that hasn't been explained yet.
Yes, I was just going to ask Mrs. Thornton about that myself, Mike. Tell me, what theory did the police have for the string of pearls your friend Mrs. Bradley was clutching in her fingers?
They had no explanation for it, Mr. Keene. And they were even more puzzled when they heard Mr. Austin's story. John Austin is a well-known jewel expert and appraiser.
I remember reading about him in the newspaper account of the murder.
He had an appointment with Grace Bradley to make an appraisal of some jewelry. But he said the string of pearls Grace had in her hand when he found her body were only cultured pearls and worth no more than $100.
Mrs. Bradley would have hardly called him in for an appraisal of something that cheap.
That's what the police thought.
Well, maybe the pearls were switched and the killer took the real ones.
I'm sure the police must have thought of that immediately, Mike.
They did, Mr. Keene. But when I appeared to identify the body and they questioned me, they decided that perhaps it wasn't the right answer.
Why, Mrs. Thornton?
Because I told them that, to my knowledge, Grace Bradley never owned any valuable jewelry. It's true her husband was wealthy. He died only a week ago. But Grace was a simple woman who hated ostentation. She often said she had no use for jewelry, and she never wore any.
Well, Mrs. Thornton, you say Mrs. Bradley's husband died a week ago?
Yes, of a heart attack. The Bradleys lived in Louisville. He was a paper pulp manufacturer and very successful. After his death, Grace decided to come to New York to live. And she left right after the funeral. They had no children.
When did you find out she was in New York, Mrs. Thornton?
The morning before she was murdered. She phoned me and told me she'd been in town for several days and was living at a hotel.
Did you see her after she phoned you?
No, Mr. Keene. When I arrived at her hotel room that afternoon, I found the police there and discovered that she'd been murdered.
I see.
Mr. Keene, I knew Grace Bradley for many years in Louisville before I married and moved to New York. A finer and more generous woman never lived. When times were hard for me, before my marriage, Grace came to my aid. She did everything she could for me. And if I could pay her back in some way, even in death, I'll do everything I can.
I can see you were very attached to her, Mrs. Thornton.
I thought of her almost as though she were a younger sister. Mr. Keene, I could offer you money for your services, but I know your reputation. I know that no amount of money could make you accept a case unless you felt you were helping someone in need or working on the side of justice.
In this instance, I feel that Mike and I would be doing both, Mrs. Thornton.
Then you'll do what you can to help solve the case, Mr. Keene.
You can depend on it. Mike?
Yes, boss.
Get hold of the car and meet me downstairs in 5 minutes. I think our starting point should be at the office of Mr. Austin, the jewel appraiser. The man who discovered Grace Bradley's body.
I'll give you his address, Mr. Keene.
Good. I'll also need information regarding Mrs. Bradley's friends and acquaintances in Louisville, in complete detail. Mike, we got our work cut out for us. And it won't be easy, judging by the circumstances. But we won't rest until we've brought Grace Bradley's murderer to trial.
Here's the office, Mr. Keene.
John Austin, jewel importer and appraiser. Now let's go in, Mike.
The ruby is genuine, Mr. Albright, but the ring isn't as expensive as you've judged.
Oh?
I'd say it was worth no more than $500.
Oh,
excuse me for a moment, please.
Yes, of course.
Yes, gentlemen, what can I do for you?
Are you Mr. Austin?
At your service.
My name is Keene. This is my partner, Mike Clancy.
Mr. Keene, the great investigator? I'm very glad to know you, sir. And you, Mr. Clancy.
Likewise, Mr. Austin.
Perhaps you can guess why we're here, Mr. Austin.
I presume it's in regard to the murder of Mrs. Bradley.
Yes, I thought perhaps you might be able to supply us with some information, since you were the one who found her body.
I only wish I could help you, Mr. Keene. But I've told the police everything I know. I was called on the telephone by Mrs. Bradley and asked to come up to a hotel suite to appraise some jewelry.
Did she specify what the jewelry was?
No, she didn't. As you undoubtedly know, a string of cultured pearls was found clutched in her hand. But it doesn't seem possible that she'd called me up to appraise them, Mr. Keene.
Well, they weren't very valuable, I take it.
For cultured pearls, they were good, but they weren't worth more than $100.
Well, would you say it was possible that Mrs. Bradley thought her pearls were real pearls?
I wouldn't know, Mr. Keene.
Isn't it true that cultured pearls do look like real ones? That is, to people who don't make a profession of handling them?
Yes, that's true, Mr. Keene. But if Mrs. Bradley originally bought those pearls herself, she certainly would have known their value.
There's no question about that.
Excuse me, gentlemen, but I couldn't help overhearing your conversation. My name is Albright, Harlow Albright. And I knew the late Mrs. Bradley.
You did?
Oh, we weren't close friends, but I was stunned by the news of her death.
Have you been questioned by the police, Mr. Albright?
Yes, Mr. Keene, but I had very little to tell them. I only met Mrs. Bradley about a week ago when she sold me this man's ring I just had appraised by Mr. Austin. Unfortunately, I was overcharged, but I'm certain Mrs. Bradley didn't do it deliberately.
Did she try to sell you anything else, Mr. Albright?
No, just the ring. She said it was her late husband's. Apparently, she needed some money very badly, or she would never have parted with it. The police have all those details, however. It was all perfectly above board, I assure you, and Mrs. Bradley's brother-in-law, Ralph Bradley, was a witness to the transaction.
Her brother-in-law?
I never read anything about him being in the case, Mr. Keene.
Neither did I, Mike.
You mean he hasn't even spoken to the police yet?
Not as far as we know.
Well, that's very odd.
Do you know where this man can be located, Mr. Albright?
Oh, I believe he was living in the same hotel with his sister-in-law, Mrs. Bradley.
But that guest list has been checked 4 times by the boys downtown, boss. Sure, if they'd have found another Bradley, they'd have talked to him, sure.
There's no question about it, Mike.
It's a mystery to me why he didn't appear of his own free will after the murder, Mr. Keene. If I'd had any idea that he was deliberately keeping himself out of this, I certainly would have mentioned his name to the police.
Well, Mr. Albright, you say that as if you're quite certain Mrs. Bradley's brother-in-law had a hand in her murder.
Or perhaps you'll feel the same way when I tell you why, Mr. Keene. I don't know whether or not he was registered in the hotel under an assumed name, or whether the room was someone else's. But when I first met Grace Bradley's brother-in-law, Ralph, he was apparently occupying the hotel room next to the one in which she was murdered.
Here's the room Mrs. Bradley had, Mr. Keene and Mr. Clancy. I was the bellboy who found her body, with Mr. Austin.
It's a corner suite, I see, with no adjoining room on the left.
And according to the register, the room here on the right was rented by a Miss Lola Smith.
She's a good looker, too, Mr. Clancy. I've seen her lots of times. Looks like a showgirl.
Here, young man, we won't need you any longer.
Thanks a lot. Gee, wait till the guys hear I met Mr. Keene, the famous investigator, in person.
All right, Mike. Now let's introduce ourselves to Miss Lola Smith, the girl who occupies the room to the right.
Who's there?
Miss Smith certainly got a deep voice, boss.
Well?
I'm looking for Miss Lola Smith.
Who wants her?
Tell her...
Let me talk to him, Ralph.
I told you to keep quiet and stay inside.
You're acting like a fool. I have nothing to hide.
Who are you two? What do you want here?
My name is Keene. This is Mike Clancy.
The investigator?
Well, I knew you'd drag the cops into this sooner or later. Okay, do as you like. I'll have no part of it.
Oh, just a second, mister. Not so fast.
Take a hand off me.
Are you Ralph Bradley by any chance?
No.
Ralph, for heaven's sake.
Shut up, Lola.
Now, just a moment.
Okay, you ask for it.
Saints preserve us. He's armed to the teeth. Look at the size of the gun he's toting around, Mr. Keene.
Big enough to blow your head off if you stand in my way.
Ralph, don't you see? You're only making things worse for yourself.
If it weren't for you, Lola, I wouldn't be in this fix. But you can shift for yourself now. I'm playing this my own way. And if anyone tries to follow me, I'll shoot to kill.
Quick, Mike. The phone.
Give me the front desk. This is an emergency. Desk, there's a man on his way down carrying a gun. Get hold of the house detective and alert the policeman on the beat. Make sure he's stopped. I'll be right behind the boss. He won't get far.
Well, be careful, Mike. He's dangerous.
Well, I guess Ralph Bradley's in trouble.
He's not the only one, Miss Smith, if that happens to be your name, which I doubt very much. You're in this, too. Apparently, we found the first link in the chain surrounding Grace Bradley's murder. And in a very short time, I hope to weld the chain completely around the killer's wrists.
In just a moment, we'll return to Mr. Keene and the case of murder and the bloodstained necklace.